1000-watt News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show at 222-1180, star 1180, a free call for Verizon wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000-watt 1180 WHAM.
The Free Amigos!
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the BC. It is Sunday, the 17th of December, Anno Domini 2006. And you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 9 minutes after the hour, that was the great Glenn Lambert's on air guitar. I don't know if you could tell.
Doesn't he do a great job on it?
Yeah. You were phenomenal, Glenn.
I practiced for years. You know, my mother and father spent all that money for lessons.
For air guitar lessons. At least you kept the air part. You're on air.
You know, I ought to explain something when I did that little Spanish, but I don't speak Spanish at all. But there's a little stanchion that they have in the hallway when they mop the floors, and it says, "Cuidado, piso mojado."
Yeah.
And I assume that means be careful, the floor is wet.
Yeah, I assume it does.
I do. But anyway, that's what
the only means. Spanish I know is donde está la dinero.
$20, same as in town.
Oh, we better just change the subject.
I don't speak foreign. I'm an American. We don't speak foreign languages. We just shout louder till you get it. All right, we're going to be bringing you news, views, stuff you can use.
And rum balls.
We have rum balls.
This is going to be a good show
today.
I
have been waiting for these rum balls.
They're here. And also we'll be talking.
We're here and he's in there.
We're going to be talking about gifts for gearheads, stuff to buy for your computer friends, or perhaps something you'd like if your significant other is listening. He or she will hear this. So give us a call. You know the numbers, 222-1180. 800-295-1180 and star 1180 and tell us what you want for the holidays.
We should mention that we are going to be on air next Sunday.
Are
Christmas
we?
Eve.
Oh, yes, good for us.
Oh, you didn't get the memo?
I don't get memos.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. We are on the air next Sunday.
Yeah. My wife asked me that. It's Christmas Day Eve, so it's not Christmas Eve yet.
Right.
It's Christmas. Yeah. Christmas Eve Eve. Christmas Day Eve.
I'll bring more rum balls.
Please do.
Honored and bring a lot of rum balls next week. I think that's what we're going to need. At any rate, there's been a big yellow worm alert. Yes, indeed. There's a new worm that is attacking systems running Symantec antivirus, also known as Norton antivirus, and Symantec client security for you corporate types. It's a remote system level access vulnerability. It takes control of the machines running vulnerable unpatched Symantec software. It will then download a package off the net and start to seek out other vulnerable systems to attack. It was patched back in June, but a lot of people didn't get the update because with products like Symantec, you do not get automatic updates. You have to download the updates. It's not like when you do Windows on a Linux box, when I update every single package on my system, word processors, spreadsheets,
it does it all for you.
Everything. But in Windows, when you do Windows Update, it only updates Windows. It does not update any of your applications. So if you are running Symantec Antivirus version 10, any version 10 for Windows, or Client Security, any version 3.01, you know, or 10, 10.1, whatever, for Windows, you are vulnerable and you need to upgrade.
And probably, especially if you're running an earlier version, which won't catch the new threats anyway.
Right. You need to, if you're going to continue to run Symantec, which is also Norton.
And that'll slow down your machine.
And it will slow down your machine. Congratulations. But you are vulnerable unless you are running the latest, newest, hottest version. And that's beyond 10.1. So make sure that you're up to date with that, or you will be vulnerable. You'll know you're vulnerable if you see a lot of traffic on port 2967. For those of you who know what you're looking for, TCP port 2967, IRC communication, or multiple connections to domains in the 3322.org range, like nameless.3322.org, nameless back. .3322.org or ftpd.3322.org. And I'd like to thank my friend Tom for pointing that out to me.
One thing I got to do, though, is say hello to my grandchildren. They're still, my wife is still alive.
Yeah, right. Your wife loves you. Let me tell you this right now.
I got to bail out early. We've had the grandchildren over for the Christmas holiday. And Cody, Leanne, Taylor, and Ryan are all probably still there.
See, the best thing about grandchildren is you can come back when you're done.
Oh, yeah. No. Hey, I wouldn't have it any other way. You know, love them to death, but we had fun, though. I mean, did a lot of baking, as you guys can well see. You know, the rum balls and all that other stuff.
Rum
we had a lot of fun.
We have rum balls.
So what crazy tool have you been looking at?
Well, I want to start out with a product that I had last year that I absolutely loved. It was the Moby Blue Cube. It was the DAH-1500i, if you need the name. It's a 1-inch cube, and it's an MP3 player, 1 gig, 2 gig, whatever. They also have other models that that are bigger and look more like an iPod or a cell phone. That, you know, they have that shape as opposed to the cube. And then they also have a new cube, which is about the same size, but it's got more features in it. And that you can find those at MobiBlueAmerica.com. And that's blue with just a U, B-L-U, M-O-B-I-B-L-U, America.com. Steve will put that up on our website. They're not terribly expensive. The cubes are pretty inexpensive. And they come in multiple colors. And they're a great little product to buy for somebody. Almost as a stocking stuffer. A little expensive for a stocking stuffer, but they're certainly the right size. All right, we're going to go to the phones. Our first caller today, Kevin from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Kevin. What's your question?
How you doing, gentlemen?
Good. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. I was just sitting there listening, and I believe that your data on the Symantec is inaccurate.
Is it? What's the story?
They do have auto updates. Every time I turn my instrument on, it goes to the website, checks for updates.
But it's not Windows Update. There's a second program you have to run, Live Update, from
Symantec. Right. You're right. My point is not that they don't update. It's just that people who only do Windows Update have missed it, and it can be turned off. Auto updating can be turned off, and if you've done that, you're absolutely right. It does. It will auto update if you let it, if you tell it to. But particularly people with older versions, it doesn't update across versions.
And within Symantec, though, once you do one update, quite often folks don't read it, that you've got to reboot and run it again until you say that there are no more updates available.
Right. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob, I Need My Rum Balls, Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, with all of you at 16 minutes after the hour at Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Call WHAM.
We are jamming, man.
Come on.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 20 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites.
You know what we say. We can honestly say that during that break, we each did a shot or two.
Yeah. Dave brought his world-famous rum balls, and all I have to say is, don't worry, eat rum balls. They're delicious.
Oh, we're not lighting any matches.
They're frighteningly delicious. What's in them? What kind of rum?
It's Antigua rum, which is 85 proof, and I've had the rum, it's got to be about 10, 12 years.
Holy mother of pearl. They must be very happy.
I think we're going to need to call cabs today to get home. I'm not going to lie.
Cabs are going to be lined up outside Midtown waiting to catch us.
It's
well-aged. So am I at this point. Wow! And I've only had one so far. For those of you who are using Microsoft Word, yes, exploit code is out there. Now, this may seem like deja vu all over again. That's because this is the third unpatched vulnerability in Microsoft Word that has been posted to the internet in the last 2 weeks. That's right, three vulnerabilities in 2 weeks, all of which are unpatched. The attached code contains sample Word documents that have been rigged to launch code execution exploits when the file is open. Microsoft has not yet publicly acknowledged the vulnerability, but the United States Computer Emergency Readiness Team, or CERT, issued an alert. Data used by Microsoft Word to construct a destination address for a... that's not important. But the point is, if an attacker constructs a Word document with a specially crafted value, then the attacker will be able to overwrite memory areas with their own code. So an attacker could trigger the vulnerability by convincing a user to open a rigged Word document, which, as we all know, is ludicrously easy.
Here's that document you asked for.
Here's that document you asked for. Or check this out. It's Bill Clinton naked, or, you know, whatever it is that they think will trigger you opening that thing. That's the problem. So CERT basically says, and remember, none of this is coming from Microsoft. They're not even acknowledging that it's a problem, okay? Don't open Word or other Office documents that you're not absolutely expecting. Do not rely on file name extension filtering. I know that a lot of people say, oh, you know what? If it ends in something other than .doc, Word won't open it. Not true. Windows will always call Word to open a document that says it's a Word document, no matter what the file extension is. So disable the automatic opening of Word of Microsoft Office documents.
That's been a tip, a requirement for years, is you can name a file .doc.exe, right, and it looks like a Word file, but it's really an application.
Right.
Because the Windows will hide that last extension.
Right. So this is the third, remember, this is the third flaw found in Word for the last 2 weeks, all of which are unpatched. So for Pete's sake, for those of you who are still using Microsoft Office, first, why? And secondly, be very, very careful, because the truth is you're going to find yourself in some serious trouble if you're not incredibly careful. All right. More toys. The Moby Blue Cube I was telling you about.
Oh, I got to tell you one.
Wait a minute. I got to finish this because I forgot to tell people the price. Oh. The 1 gigabyte model is $99. These are list prices, of course. The 2 gigabyte model is $119. So it's not terribly expensive. The nice part about the Moby Blue Cube, is particularly the version 2, it includes its own FM radio. It plays MP3s, WMAs, and OGG files for those of you who are into the whole OGG concept. So that's a pretty neat product. In addition, you might want to think about some of those a nice set of headphones. Bose makes a nice one. They're $350. They better be nice. But they have that noise canceling thing, which a lot of people really like. Those are certainly more of a high-end gift, but they're a pretty neat gift. So I'm sorry, Dave, you were saying.
Yeah, along that vein, you know, maybe a little bit cheaper, I got this one device. It's an MP3 player.
Mm-hmm.
It's a jump drive.
Mm-hmm.
1 gig. And it's got the little display on the, you know, the front of it. You know, it looks like a regular thumb drive.
Yep.
And that was $19.95.
Okay, that's not a bad price.
And it comes with the earpieces.
Who makes it and where can you get it?
I went to Fry's. That's FRYS.com.
Big electronics chain in California.
Yeah, great chain.
I hate my friend Lou, who can just walk into a Fry's any day he wants.
They've got some unique stuff. And that was before the rebate. They had a $9 rebate. So it wound up costing me like $10. And it was...
it's not bad.
It was a special they had going on. They always got lower prices after rebates and everything else. But it is no bigger than a thumb drive, USB. You plug it in, you know, just drag all your files over, put the cap back on it, hook up the earpiece, plug away, and there you go. You know, it fits nice and slim in a pocket where the cube there is a little bulgy.
The cube is bulgy. It's pretty neat to wear it around your neck. My daughter did that for a while, wore it around her neck as a pendant. That's kind of neat. But yeah, other than that, it's not so easy. I'll tell you what, there's a million little MP3 players, and while they're certainly not necessarily iPods or Zunes, they're pretty good, and they're inexpensive, and you can just move files over to them, and it's pretty nifty. Got to tell you the truth.
I still get a kick out of the report that came out a week or two ago that clerks in stores selling the Zune didn't know what a Zune was.
Yeah, right. Well, Microsoft hasn't really done the kind of serious advertising that you might expect. Well, we all know what they are.
Their commercials are still, well, you know, they're silly. But, you know, it's the Zune community, but they don't say anything about the product. It's just welcome to the community.
Yeah.
They're trying to go with the more artistic flavor commercials that Apple was known for in the 80s.
All right, right.
Here it is here. It's called the Max Speed Trio 1 Gig MP3 Player. And right now, they've still got the rebate going on. And it's, I take that back. It was $29.95.
Or at least it is now. Maybe you got it on special.
Yeah,
at the
time. I had it on special. But for $30, I mean, you know, after the rebate, you got a 1 gig player. You know, you can even, the other thing is you can also record into it.
Right.
So, you know, it's very versatile.
Right. See, that's what I like about those things. And my daughter, who is. My daughter has taken up knitting now. She just actually started just the other day and is already making things like mad. And she's discovered the joy of listening to the Harry Potter novels on her iPod while she does that. And certainly one of these will hold an entire novel plus a lot of room left over. It won't hold all seven of them, or six at this point, as hers will. But
then now you got to get to the Harry Potter's iPod that has Hogwarts engraved on the back.
Yeah, no. That's the answer to that is no. Listen, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco. At 28 minutes after the hour, Glenn Lamberts is in to give you news, weather, sports, all the important stuff that you listen to. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 33 minutes after the hour and three rumballs in, you're listening to Sound Bites.
Oh, those are incredible.
They are phenomenal. If later on in the show I'm saying things like, just shut my mic off and let me wander, would you?
These are good.
These are good. All right, before we, they're here. There's more here. I can't believe you only brought that.
Don't give the news anchor rumballs. He's got one more newscast to get through.
And I barely made it through this one.
You'll just hear the weather.
And there's
the weather. Check outside and see for yourself.
Weather man, you know.
Jeez. It's raining.
Hippy dippy weatherman.
Yeah. The hippy dippy.
Partial score just in. New England, 53. A hacker has infiltrated UCLA and taken away data on 800,000 people. An unknown hacker has infiltrated a massive University of California, Los Angeles database with personal information on 800,000 people. It was a highly sophisticated attack, and it's exploited a software flaw to obtain the social security numbers. University has no suspects. All indications so far is that this is a malicious targeted attack and well-orchestrated. The other thing that was unnerving was that it was orchestrated in such a way that it covered its own tracks. The hacker apparently began trying to worm into the system more than a year ago, but drew suspicion after technicians noticed an odd data traffic pattern. The database contained names, social security numbers, dates of birth, home addresses, and contact information, all of which, of course, could be used by identity thieves. The university has said it is not aware of any instances in which the personal information has been misused, but of course they would probably be the last to know.
You think it's an inside job?
An interesting question.
Trying to pay for his tuition?
Yeah. This is one of the largest attacks ever perpetrated against an American university. So if you or any family member is at University of California, Los Angeles, or applied to UCLA, you could be at risk, so make sure you check that out. What do you got for a gift idea?
Well, that
you had something.
Yeah, well, that was one thing. The fry, you know, that was really one of the things that I really liked, because that whole site, the electronic stuff that you can get from there, you know, is unbelievable. That can make your life a lot easier. A number of folks, though, have been emailing us, too, believe it or not, from what was it, about a month and a half ago, about the turntables, the USB turntables.
Oh, yeah. I have one from Ion. It works. It works exceptionally well. There's also a product for $50 or $60 that you can get from, ThinkGeek. We should talk about ThinkGeek that lets you plug in your own turntable or your own cassette deck and rip from there.
One of the other big things that's becoming a very hot item, though, and we've been talking about it for the past few months, is external hard drives. That you could more or less put any size hard drive you want in it. And they're now coming out with not only IDE, but SATA. And most of the card readers, the 42-in-1 card readers that like we put in our machines, will accept a SATA external hard drive now.
Right.
So, I mean, you want speed, you want simplicity. A lot of them come with the program that, you know, all you've got to do is shut off your monitor at night. Once you set it all up, you can get a 300 or a 500 gig external hard drive and have it back it up, set up a routine that at night, say at midnight, it backs up all your data and just, you know, throws it over to this external drive, whether you do it Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, or even at least once a week, and then, you know, pack that hard drive up in a fireproof box.
Well, data-resistant fireproof.
Yes. Because
regular fireproof boxes are just newspaper, which is 451 degrees Fahrenheit.
But and I wouldn't recommend. Right. And I wouldn't recommend storing it upstairs. I would keep it down the basement.
You're in a data fire safe in another building. Another building if you can.
Well, I mean, if you're in your own home, you're trying to find a you know, safe place to put it where it might get least damage. I would say heat-wise is the basement. Because most fires start, you know, first or second floor and go up. Very few start in the basement.
Right.
So if you got it down in the basement in, like Steve said, this data-proof safe box over in the corner on a shelf or whatever, and, you know, religiously put it there, chances are if anything happens, God forbid, you'd be able to get back up and running and not lose, say, years worth of banking, or if you're running a small business, you know, off of these drives. So they're very great.
Yeah, they are.
And they're coming down in price dramatically. I just found a 250 SATA drive for $70.
Mm-hmm. Miska. But well, the LaCie that I got is great.
Yeah, external Ethernet drive. Yeah, we've sold three or four of those.
Good, my pleasure.
Since you mentioned it on the air. Yeah.
Excellent. Where's my cut? Anyway, yeah. The point is I got this from Steve. I got this LaCie drive. It's an external drive, but it actually plugs right into your Ethernet. You don't have to plug it into a specific computer. And then you just find it online like any other drive on any other network, and you can save files to it, grab files from it. It's a great place to have for external storage. If the machine that you're running dies for whatever reason, you still end up with this external drive on the network, and it's separate and safe. It's not quite as good as having a separate drive somewhere in the West Coast, but it certainly is nice. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's Story Hour coming up, so be prepared at 39 minutes after the hour at Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, okay, kids, sit back, relax, put on your little footy jammies, grab your mug of hot cocoa and your teddy bear, and gather around the rocking chair. If we can wake him up from his rumball stupor, it's time for Story Hour with Uncle Dave. And here is everybody's favorite, Uncle Dave.
We need different music, like ZZ Top or something to wake it up.
ZZ Top is not the kind of thing you play to kids before Story Hour.
It is for me.
Ever-loving God.
I don't want to know what kind of stories you tell anymore. We're gonna have to
at
stop.
My age, I can tell any stories I want, since I'm the oldest of all you guys.
That's right. You're old.
Yes, I am. 58 years young. So, and I'm darn proud of it.
Darn proud of it. Made it through 58 years.
So far, God willing.
That's astonishing.
Hey, you know, every day. Now, well, this week's great story. I had to really bite my tongue this week. You know, God love folks. You know, they love right now, as Steve and you, Nick, you well know, folks are getting kids for college and that laptops. Well, laptops are quite different than desktops, in that you got to give some care and due diligence with them.
They're easily stolen. They're easily spilled on. They're easily left
banged
behind.
Up against things. Yep.
But when, you know, a student goes to quick leave his dorm and leaves the power plug still plugged in and breaks the power connection for the second time, Sorry, that is not covered under warranty. Because we wound up replacing, it took us a while, I can get the connectors and that type of stuff. Because on a laptop, you literally have to break it down to the day it was made. Because the motherboard has to come out of that. We literally put out a sheet of paper and have to draw little squares where we got these screws from. Because there are hundreds of screws holding this laptop together in each individual part.
I find the little button holders at Joann Fabric work really good.
So
I
we
have
break
a lot
it,
of those myself.
So we break it all down. We have to take the motherboard out, flip it over to unsolder the connection. And this one individual said, well, isn't that covered under your warranty service? I said, no.
Not when you damage it.
You didn't buy the laptop from me. We fixed it. And it was working fine when out here with a brand new connector. Your kid broke it again. Make him pay for it. I'm sorry. There's no freebie in that because it literally can take up to 4 hours.
Yeah.
And that's assuming that you can unsolder and resolder the connector replacement
right.
on
yeah.
it because the traces are so
and
small.
Then I had another one. I don't know how they did it, but they were trying to get a headset jack in the front part of the laptop, and they snapped it off.
Well, can't you just pull that out? No.
I couldn't get my pliers weren't long. I could get pliers in there, but because the part that broke off was so smooth.
Nothing to grab.
I says to that individual, sorry, you've got to send that back to the manufacturer.
I've even tried medical forceps, trying to get in there and pull. Because usually the other thing that happens with power tips is the power tip of the cord will break off inside the socket.
Well, I've got surgical clamps that once you squeeze down on them, they lock.
Yep, they lock in.
Too.
And so, folks, with the holidays, I mean, you're getting these great laptops for folks. Tell them to use a little due diligence because, the repairs on these are not cheap. It's just a fact of life.
All right. Thank you, kiddies. Now you can take off your footy jammies, put away your teddy bears, put your hot cocoa mugs in the sink.
You sound like the guy from Prairie Home Companion.
Thank you.
No, I mean, you seriously do.
Garrison Keillor?
Yes.
And that's the way it is in my hometown of Lake Wobegon, where the men are men. All right,
and the sheep are nervous.
And the sheep are nervous. We're back to the phones.
Oh, hello.
What was that in Hitchhiker's Guide? Back in the glory days of the Empire, when men were real men and women were real women, and small blue furry creatures from Alpha Centauri were real small blue furry creatures from Alpha Centauri.
All right, don't forget, give us a call. Tell us what you think the geek would love for Christmas. We have Dave from Greece on the line. He actually has a question. Dave, what's your question?
Yes, I have a new laptop with a DVD burner in it.
Yes.
And it's unable to write the DVD burner. It reads CDs. It writes the CDs. It plays DVDs, but it won't recognize a blank DVD.
Maybe you don't have a DVD burner. You might have a CD-RW DVD reader.
Oh, there's, it's sometimes called a combo drive.
Yeah, it's a combo drive where it'll handle read and write CDs, but it'll only read DVDs.
Well, I went online. It's a Pioneer DVD burner. Mm-hmm. I downloaded the latest firmware. I uninstalled it, reinstalled it. Downloaded the latest drivers, and still nothing's going on.
What it could be the laser.
Yeah, that's two burner. Things. Either there's several lasers in the drive, one for each type of reading and writing. And then what type of discs are you using? Minus R, plus R, minus RW,
DVD
plus RW?
Plus RW.
That might be a problem, too. Try a minus R, which is most compatible.
Okay.
It may be a minus drive. It may not be a plus drive.
Okay. Is there any way for me to tell that?
Documentation.
Yeah, if it's detailed in the specifications.
But that would be it.
Do you have a part number from Pioneer?
I do have the part number. I don't have it with me. I'm out on the road right now.
Yeah.
The best thing to do is to stop and pick up, say, a small, one or a three-pack of DVD minus Rs.
Okay.
And try those. If they work, then go out and buy yourself a million of them. But that's the way that's got to work. All right. Happy now?
Now that's the music I want.
Yeah, so now, Dave,
that's not
It's very surprising.
Music.
Very surprising. A man of your age likes ZZ Top.
I passed a guy out in Greece the other day. He was walking on the street. I swear to goodness, he looked like one of the guys from ZZ Top.
Well, I like Eminem too.
The one with the beard.
Yeah, the one. Yeah.
I like M&M's, but I like the peanut M&M's.
No.
We're going to take a quick break.
No,
we'll
I like
back
the music.
In just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco. At 51 minutes after the hour, Glenn Lamberts will be bringing you all the important stuff that goes on. So pay attention, because he doesn't do this for fun. We'll be back with Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.
Wham's Rush Limbaugh.
Bueller.
I'm sorry. Bueller's not here, man. But we are. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 55 minutes after the hour, you are listening to Sound Bites.
And I still like Ben Stein.
We all love Ben Stein.
Win Ben Stein's Money was the greatest TV show.
It was the greatest. It was phenomenal. All right, don't forget, give us a call. Tell us what you think geeks should get for Christmas. 222-1180, 800-295-1180, or star 1180. Well, we've been talking about exploits on other things. We should talk about the latest Vista exploit.
For an operating system not even out yet.
Not even out yet.
Right. Underground hackers are hawking zero-day exploits for Microsoft's about to be new Vista operating system at $50,000 a pop. The Vista exploit, which has not at this point been independently verified, was just one of many 0 days available for sale at an auction-style marketplace online. Prices for exploits for unpatched code execution flaws are in the $20,000 to $30,000 range, depending on the popularity of the software and the reliability of the attack code. Bots, Trojan downloaders that typically hijack Windows machines for use in spam-spewing botnets were being sold for about $5,000. This highlights the true financial value of software vulnerability information, serves as further confirmation that a lucrative underground market exists for exploiting code targeting unpatched flaws. The typical price of a destructive exploit has increased dramatically, driving an underground market that could exceed the value of the legitimate security software business. A custom Trojan capable of stealing online account information can be bought for between $1,000 and $5,000. A botnet-building piece of malware can cost between $5,000 and $20,000. Credit card numbers with valid PINs are sold for $500 each. Billing data that includes an account number, physical address, social security number, home address, birth date, and probably your dorm room number at UCLA go between $80 and $300. Driver's licenses can be had for $150. Birth certificates for $150. Social security cards for $100. Credit card numbers with security code and expiration date for between $7 and $25. PayPal or eBay account credentials are available for $7. Buy now. Avoid the rush. It's just astonishing that stuff can go on.
Oh.
You know, and it's happening overseas. Again, I'm not going to say where it's happening overseas, so there's nothing that America can do about it unless somebody buys it, somebody in America buys it.
Well, as we tell folks each year, when you get these emails, if you know they're not legit, you have an idea that, you know, First Trust Bank, which you don't do, you know, any banking app,
right?
Do not reply back to these emails. It only verifies that, oh, I've got a live one here.
Yep. All right, listen, we are going to take a quick break. But don't forget, when we come back, we're going to talk more about the geek toys that you need this holiday season. Don't forget, call us with your eyes.
I want that lava lamp that plugs into my USB port. That's what I want,
Santa.
We'll
talk about all the USB plugins when we come back. That'll be kind of fun. There's also a T-shirt that I don't know how you as a DJ could live without. It's great, and we'll be talking about those and a whole lot of other things when we come back with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with Rob Linton. We've got, how many guys do you need in there? You got Glenn Lamberts in there with you, you got Dan Cole in there with you, you're in there. Of course, Dan's playing on his PS2 there, his little PSP. Glenn is trying to find his air guitar. He seems to have misplaced it somewhere. And then there's you. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes, at 59 minutes after the hour, listening to the greatest computer show in the known universe, Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM. We'll be right back.
50,000-watt News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show at 222-1180, star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000-watt 1180 WHAM.
Bueller. Bueller. Bueller.
I'll be Bueller. Is it something good? I'll be Bueller. Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 6 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites.
As long as Jeffrey Jones isn't peering in your window.
Oops.
Oops. He's him and William Atherton, for most of the 80s, they were the bad guys.
Yeah.
Every week on our website, soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, we do a poll. Last week's poll was about the unpatched security hole in Word. Little did I know that there would be three of them by the time we next met. 298 of you voted, making it 157 on the all-time hit list. The question was, are you worried about the unpatched security hole in Word? 34% of you said, no, I use a different word processor. 26% of you said, yes. 24% of you said, no, I just use Word and hope. 16% said, yes, but it's easier to just use Word and hope. This week's poll is about a great news item. As you know, Nintendo has joined has joined the fray when it comes to console gaming, and they have introduced the Wii, W-I-I, pronounced Wii.
My
Wii.
Partner Dan's got one.
Can I go Wii now?
Yeah, right.
Wii all the way home?
Yeah.
The problem is, apparently, the cool thing about the Wii, the new video game console, is that their controller is actually extremely interactive. It actually has little gyroscopes and accelerator.
Yeah, technologically, there's an accelerometer inside this little tiny controller. And the fact that they can do this in a relatively cheap box is amazing.
Yeah, it really is. So the idea is, if you're playing the tennis game, you actually swing the controller to hit the thing.
But
if you're
just
got to
do a little wrist movement.
The straps that hold this controller to your wrist,
people aren't using them,
and consequently these things are flying out of people's hands. They're hitting other folks in the head. They're smashing
going through TVs.
Windows. They're going through the big TVs, which is the really bad part. So after several weeks of pressure due to the breaking straps on the controllers, Nintendo has announced it is recalling 3.2 million straps. Nintendo will be offering replacements for the straps. After staying mum on the issue since its launch, they finally admitted that they had an issue.
Does that mean that they've shipped 1.6 million Wiis in a month? That's pretty good.
That's pretty astonishing. Yeah, that number alone is pretty cool because it has only been out for a month. They announced they're replacing the Wii straps for those who would like the peace of mind knowing that when they play Wii Sports, they won't be caving in the front of their $3,000 plasma screens. I can't read that.
There's a whole website that you can see.
All the video websites have
the
got
clips
videos
of the damage.
He wants you to go to wehaveaproblem.com.
That's W-I-I, wehaveaproblem.com. Dan was kind enough to hold that up against the window, except he'd written it apparently in pencil, and I completely missed that.
There's a rabbit humping a Wii.
That's lovely.
I had a pet rabbit once. It humps anything.
It probably is just actually pushing it along, so all you kids who go there will just see it's pushing the Wii out the door. At any rate, the question is, I will be the poll this week is, I will be replacing my Wii's controller straps. The choices are, yes, I've had a problem. Yes, even though I haven't had a problem. No, I'm going commando. And no, I don't own a Wii. And as I expected, for most of our users, 95% of you, we've had 75 votes so far. 95% of you don't even own a Wii. And 5% of you say, no, you're going commando. So that's the deal there. Once you're done putting in your choice on the poll, I know that's not enough for you folks. You folks are not just content to click a button. You folks need to actually say something. So underneath that poll, I have provided in the little yellow box a link to my website, AskNick.com. That's AskNick.com.
Your mother was a hamster, and your father smelt of elderberries.
Fetch a lavash! All right. Where you can put in your opinion. So far, we've got 7 opinions in there, so please feel free to enter your opinion. Remember, keep it clean. Profanity is boring and infantile. While you're there, feel free to look around. We have Ask Nick is my website where I do all kinds of interesting things. I put out a newsletter with all kinds of stuff in it, questions and answers, tips and tricks, website of the week, rants and raves, all kinds of interesting things. We also have online forums where we answer computer questions and stuff. You can search through all of the old Q&As and rants and raves and things for information that you might want. And, of course, these areas are for members only. But membership is a mere $15 a year, so I cannot imagine why you wouldn't give that to somebody for Christmas. A mere $15, great stocking stuffer. Print out a little...
I'm going to do a little plug there, too. And off of our website, I still am doing the weekly tips of the week. And, of course, as you know, if you go to the Security Tango, which is a site that you maintain,
right?
You know, you can get the CD if you're having trouble downloading a lot of the products and that for, that we recommend in the Security Tango. And just recently, the past few week or so, I have now added a few more utilities to that CD. That I've found on the web, and I just put them on there, and, you know, I do a whole list of stuff that you can, it's not an automatic install. I've had a number of folks call me, so this just, because I got an email, but, well, I put the CD in and it didn't do anything. No, yeah, right, it's the utilities. I tell you to print off the list, and it describes what the utilities are there, and if you want to use them.
Eagle Wolf in the Soundbites forums has been trying forever to get an automated version of the Security Tango to run. It's very hard because there are multiple products from multiple manufacturers, and they don't give you a way to do that.
But if you get that, and then Lori's checklist, she tells you how to, you know, keep the Adaware and the SpyBot up to date,
right.
You know, you're good to go.
And, of course, feel free to check out all the advertisers on our site, the generous advertisers on the Security Tango site. And while you're there, check out my blog. I do a random blog on security and what's going on with that. I've had tens of thousands of people view that. I'm very pleased to see that. And don't forget, Let's Dance. You can get that CD by writing to Lori. And as I continue to say on the site, please pay attention. Lori does not answer your computer questions. She is not a computer geek. She was kind enough to put this all together, the how to continue running. To keep the Tango running smoothly, she'll send you that. But sending her computer questions is completely wrong. Use our form on the
because they ultimately
form.
Come to me and
they'll
I tell
go to
her-
Dave anyway. So and it wastes time. She has to get them and get annoyed and then pass them on. And
not that we want to answer hundreds of email questions, but
but right, we really don't. Well, I keep telling people this all the time. It comes in waves. For years, nobody calls me at home, and then all of a sudden, people are calling me at home, and I have to be rude. I answer computer questions on the radio, on television, in the newspaper. I answer them in line at Wegmans. I answer them when I'm at the movies. I answer them everywhere I go.
At
the Flower City Coffee Company every Saturday at the Public Market.
And how do they get your phone number?
I'm not going to say. And what am I? How stupid do I look?
Well, no, I was just wondering. I mean,
after all that, you think he's hard to find?
Right, right. Not that hard to find. But the point here is,
well, it's written on the men's room wall.
In my home, exactly. In my home, I prefer not to take people's computer questions. I've got to have somewhere where I don't answer computer questions.
Oh, now Tommy, Elaine, and Amelia don't ask you questions.
That's my point.
Those are okay.
That's why Amelia is on Linux. I don't get computer questions from her. Her machine runs fine. All the time, and I take care of Elaine's machine, so it runs fine all the time. But I really don't want to answer other people's
computer questions in my home.
But the problem is, they call and then they get mad at me. Yep. They have interrupted me in my home. They have come into my home to ask for something free, and they get mad when I don't want to give it to them. I'm sorry. In my home is inviolate. Don't call me at home for computer questions. I don't take them at home. The one place I adamantly do not take computer questions.
See, that's it was always the joke about telemarketers interrupting you in the middle of anything, and you know, give me your phone number and tell me what time you eat dinner so I can call you.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But it just it gets and I had a guy. We have a stand at the public market. It's the Flower City Coffee Company at the Rochester Public Market off Union Street. Where
I like
every
her
Saturday
website now.
It's getting better. It's not there yet, but I'm finally talking to her and getting
that
better.
That really looks nice, what she's got
Thank
done.
You,
you folks got to visit thebeanqueen.com.
Thebeanqueen.com. Make sure you get that the in there.
Because that's where I get my coffee from,
sure.
And it's great to see the other flavors. Now, I'll know because I found one, and I got to get the exact name of it, so then I know Elaine will be able to get it for me.
Right. But the point is, people come there and ask me computer questions there, too. And I'm actually there to sell coffee. That's what I'm there for. If I want to sleep with both eyes closed every night, I will be at the stand selling coffee on Saturday. But people come and ask me computer questions. And jokingly, one week, the guy said, listen, I got a computer question for you. I said, oh, you got to buy a cup of coffee. And he got mad at me. Here's this guy asking for my advice, wants me to give him free computer advice.
When
and he didn't think it
coffee.
Was worth 60 cents for a cup of coffee. Our coffee's not expensive.
And it tastes good.
And he got mad at me. So I'm afraid generally, yeah. An easygoing guy. I got mad at him back. I wouldn't answer his computer questions for love or money.
And Dave and I run into it almost worse because you know, we answer computer questions for a living. And
exactly.
People are mad because we want them to pay us when we're not here live on the radio.
Yeah.
Well, we always get it, too. And I know you do, too, Nick.
Yep.
It's, I got an easy question for you.
Yeah, the questions are always easy.
Yeah, it's the 20 minutes that we got to do explaining it to you that now all of a sudden... They get torqued up because, well, you know, we want to, like you say, bring it in. Well, I know it's something you can easily walk me through. Well, then call the show.
Well, see, I get a lot of those. Easily walk you through. All right, go to Start, Settings, Control Panels, Display, Adjust, and pick 640 by 480. What was that second one again?
Yeah, right.
Well, I easily talked you through it. It's not.
Yeah, right. Well, the thing that's worse for me is people will always say, you know, I know a lot about computers, so, you know, this will be a quick question because you don't have to lead me through it. And then I'll give them that.
Start menu. Where's that?
No, I'll say, you know, go to the display option in the control panel and set it to 640 by 480. And they go, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. But
okay.
I know a lot
when
about
you
computers.
Say you know a lot about computers, you know which one's the keyboard and which one's the mouse.
Yeah.
That's what you're telling me?
And what's
right.
the display?
I don't mind answering people's questions. Just don't lie to me when you're asking the question. You know what I'm saying? That's the way that goes. All right, we're going to go. We got time to go back to the phones. Rob, hello? Do we?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, for you? You're good with that?
Okay. Are you bouncing your head or you're answering
I don't
your
new bobblehead?
He's being his own
Have
Rob
you had too many
bobblehead doll. Where can we get that Rob Litton bobblehead doll, Rob?
You know what?
No, I don't want to know
you
what.
You want to see me do the bobblehead thing again? Give me some more rum balls.
Yeah, exactly right.
I'm having a hard time staying awake
in
here.
You want some more?
We got
more. No, I'm all set with that. I'm going to be hungover by the time I leave this place
kidding.
This afternoon.
I'm going to get home and be like, yeah, I'll take a nap now. Our next caller is Todd from Gates, New York. Welcome, Todd. What's your question?
First of all, I'm a little nervous after that rant to even ask a question. But
this is where we answer questions. This is where we do it. Go
I'm
for
just
it.
Teasing. It's probably for Steve. I'm running...
Good, wake me when it's over. I'll have a rumble.
I'm running Mac OS X Tiger, and what my idea is I'd like to use my shared folder, my public folder, to share like Christmas videos Christmas morning with my parents in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been trying like crazy to do this over the Internet. My dad's on a Windows machine, and I can't... I've been testing with him, and I cannot get it to go.
Well, there's a couple of things you need to do ahead of time. One is that in the Mac sharing system preference, Mac file sharing and Windows file sharing are two different services you have to turn on.
Absolutely.
So then you have to make sure your Windows sharing is on.
Which it is.
The second issue is, are you behind a firewall?
Yes.
Or are you live connected to the Internet?
I'm live connected to the Internet, and I've got the firewall off. It's Peraldo.
Do you have a router on your network?
No, I don't. It's just Roadrunner running right into my Mac.
And you know your external IP address?
Well, it says that it's what it does is it comes up and it publishes. It says window users can now access your computer at, and it's /// and it starts with CPE, and then it's got it appears to be an IP address.
Right. You can't use the name because that would only work on the local network. You have to use the full IP address.
Okay.
Which is your external IP address on the Internet. If you have a router in place, you actually have to configure your router to allow traffic through the Internet.
The easiest way to find out what your IP address is, go to whatismyipaddress.com.
You can even leave the address off. What is my IP is another right. one.
Okay.
And basically that tells you your IP address is yada, 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 yada.
Right.
And that's the one you give to your father.
So the person would only just key in their browser. They'd only key in just the IP address?
No, yeah. they can't use the browser. No, they have to go. It's a file server. So they have to go to, start run /backslash the name of the IP address / the username that they're trying to log into. And then the system will ask them for the username and password of the file server they're connecting to.
Okay.
There you go.
An easier way might be to use the web server built into OS X. Put your files in the sites folder, which gets published to the web server. Then they can use a browser with that IP address.
All right. We are going to take another break. That was a good run ball. More Mac questions, please. We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you on the greatest computer show in the known universe. Woo! Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 26 minutes after the hour, it's Soundbites. Would you guys turn your lights off? Were you napping in there?
The bright lights with the drinking.
Oh, yeah, that gets to you after a while. Yeah, I can see where it would. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, Skype. Those of you who use Skype, the recent emergence of two sets of serious vulnerabilities in Skype couldn't have come at a worse time for the firm. They just published a security evaluation that says they're great, and now all of a sudden there's two vulnerabilities. Security researchers identified two groups of potentially serious security vulnerabilities involving Skype. In the first case, a security bug in the Skype for Windows system means the software can be crashed and forced to execute arbitrary code through a buffer overflow. The second one is a heap-based buffer overflow. That's all about buffer overflows. That's not restricted to Windows PCs. Hit Skype across all supported platforms. Windows, Mac, Linux, everybody. Skype has published security updates designed to guard against both of them. So if you're running Skype, update today. Our next caller is Dan on a cell phone. Welcome, Dan. What's your question?
Well, I got a couple of questions, actually. My first question is, how do you dismount an external hard drive safely from Windows?
An external, usually through the USB port.
There's a little
icon.
Well, I'm trying to remember what the icon looks like.
A PC card with an arrow pointing to it.
Yeah.
And you click on that, and there'll be a safely remove hardware option.
And is that in my computer?
No, in the system tray, in the taskbar by the clock.
If you're running, down by the clock.
Yeah, if you're running Windows XP, usually you can just shut it off once it's done writing to it.
Yeah, but then you'll get an illegal remove error. You have to unmount it.
The problem with any of these is that when you write to the drives, particularly under Windows, but nowadays under any operating system, it doesn't really write to the drive. It queues the write up in the background, and then when your system is idle, it writes to the drive.
Right.
So it is possible for you to eject the drive, and yet nothing has been written to it, and now it's all screwed up.
I wait until you shut down the machine.
Yeah. There is a safely remove control panel somewhere. If you double-click on that icon in the system tray, it opens up the full one.
Yeah, what surprises me is that if this is a USB drive and it shows up on the desktop as an icon, I'm surprised you can't right-click on it and find it and just eject it from there.
It should show up in my computer. It may not show up on the desktop.
Yeah, and you should be able to do that from my computer. It should show up as a drive, and you should be able to eject it from there.
Okay. Well, the reason I ask this is because I'm running Parallels on my Mac, and I mounted it on there, and it doesn't have a right-click feature.
Of course.
You
should be able to click and hold, and that simulates a right-click.
Parallels will emulate the right-click. I don't think it's click and hold. I think it's Control-Shift. Look in the Parallels.
Oh, for Parallels, right.
For Parallels, yeah, to mimic the right-click.
Yeah, because real men use two-button mouse.
And you can get a two-button mouse, too.
Okay. All right, now my next question is, my father-in-law just replaced his computer, and the drive that I have, that the first question was about, has all of his network settings and his pictures and all his data on it. Is he going to be able to pull all that off into his new machine without having to erase Windows off the drive or anything else like this?
Not easily. there are migration programs that will, you're putting a bigger drive in the computer or getting a new computer?
A whole new computer.
Yeah, then you need to run the file settings and transfer wizard.
Yeah, that'll copy everything into a little folder, and then from there you can save that to the external drive.
Or you can go direct from drive to drive.
Yeah.
But that does not move the data, right? That only moves...
Yeah, it moves data, not applications.
Data and settings, and not settings. Applications.
That's what I meant. It does not move the application. So
your bookmarks,
for example,
your email, things like that. But
and that drive has to be in the original PC.
And it'll move all those pictures?
File. Yeah. It'll bundle it all up in a nice little file. That's why one of my tips is, you know, folks are worried about backing up their systems. A good way to do this, so, you know, you're not going to lose a lot of stuff, is periodically run that files and settings program. And you save it to a temp folder. Once that's run, then burn that to CD or DVD.
How can that hold all your data? I mean, your data could be gigabytes and gigabytes.
Well, yeah, that's why there's two ways to do it. One is it packages it into a folder that you then put on the other machine. The other way is have the two computers directly networked together, either network or direct cable.
It crashes it down into a nice little, it's a good-sized file. That's why I recommend do that and then burn it to DVD.
Yeah. Right.
And then if your machine crashes, you can get it back up and running, put that DVD in and use the file and settings restore folder. You point it to that DVD and it puts all your icons back on, all your email settings, emails, the whole nine, photos, documents. It's all back there. You just have to reinstall the program.
And if the old computer is still working, you can network the two computers together easily. And then transfer everything that way as well.
All right. Our next caller is George from Fairport, New York. Welcome, George. What's your question?
Hey, guys. Happy Rumball Holidays.
Thank you. This is wonderful to see you, too.
Hey, every once in a while I get a pop-up to check my registry, and then you click on the pop-up, and it finds, like, X number of registry errors, but you have to subscribe to fix it. What I'm wondering is if I run
that's a fake program designed to steal your money and install more spyware.
They install that saying, oh, there's an error with it. To get rid of this error, you need our product for $29.95.
So when I run Security Tango, if there's any registry errors, will it find them?
You got it.
Well, it won't find registry errors. It will find
spyware
in the
registry.
That's
causing the registry error.
Yeah.
Often enough, yeah, that's true. So, those things, dance the tango, and hopefully those things will go away. Sometimes you get them from specific websites or with email, but always ignore those. Any of those things that say there's a registry error, buy this product to fix it, ignore them. They're spam or they're trying to dig into your machine.
Good advice. Well, how do I know if I got a registry error?
You run a real registry program like Reg.
Well, you're running Windows, so you do have registry errors.
Yes,
that's a given. You have registry errors.
You will see an actual program. It'll say that this particular program failed to load due to this particular DLL.
Okay.
You know, I mean, it's legit. Not some ad telling you to buy this product.
Got it.
It'll be an actual screen. It'll come up and say, couldn't load this program due to this DLL.
Okay.
You almost have to admire their audacity of installing spyware on your computer and then taking your money to clean the spyware, which then usually installs
more
spyware.
But I'm Italian. My relatives have been doing that for hundreds of years. That's not audacious at all. It's just the way it works.
Thanks, guys. Have a good holiday.
Sure, you too.
My pleasure. I'm going to have angry letters and email from my relatives.
They'll get over it.
Our next caller is Dave from Akron in Ohio.
Hi, Jen.
Are you in Ohio?
No, Akron, New York.
Oh, that's too bad. I'm sure it's lovely in Akron, New York, too.
Well, it's dark and cloudy, and we need some sunshine.
Sure.
My problem is I'm running Ubuntu 5.1.
Yep.
Okay? And I'm trying to cut a CD. When I put, according to the directions, you put the CD in a drive, you know, a blank CD, and then a box comes up and asks me whether I want to make a music, a data, or there's one other choice.
Sure.
So I make a choice. I'm able to put the file into the box that comes up, you know, that I want to transfer, and then I press write to disk. Excuse me. Write to disk, and then a box comes up asking me about the speed and identifies the drive and all that. And I say write, and then it comes up and says there's no data, you know, there's no media in the selected drive.
That sounds more, I do this, believe me when I tell you, I do this all day long. It's one of two things. You either have a really weird CD drive that there's never been a driver for except from the manufacturer for Windows.
Okay.
Or there's something not right with the drive itself. It either needs to be cleaned or replaced. The good news is, of course, new drives are like, what, $15 nowadays? So that's not a big deal. But
one of the other issues could be, again, what type of media are you
right.
using? Minus R plus R, minus RW plus RW. And what type of media is the drive capable of? Again, the minus R's are the most compatible and the ones you should test with.
I see. Well.
So oh. try first buying a one or two minus R discs.
Mm-hmm.
And try it with those. And if it recognizes it, then you know you've got an older drive that only does minus R. If that doesn't work, then it is possible the drive itself, the writing laser is separate from the reading laser. So you can burn out the writing laser and still be able to read CDs perfectly. So it's possible that the writing laser is no longer working. These seem to be a lot more delicate. I don't know why, but they do.
Well, and some of it, too, is that people are burning more and more discs, and so you're just wearing them out.
Yeah.
Yes, there is that. Yes, there is that. So I would try those things. Let us know. Our next caller, Doug, from Hilton, New York. Welcome, Doug. What's your question?
Happy holidays, guys.
And the same to you.
I just got one. My kids are trying to tell me they want to download some program called LimeWire.
No.
Danger, Will Rogers.
Bad,
danger.
Bad.
It's full of spyware, which is the first problem. And virtually every... Well, LimeWire is a program that connects to peer-to-peer networks. Virtually everything they want to copy from the peer-to-peer network is illegal.
Ah.
So what they want to do is download music illegally from the internet.
Yeah, oh, great, great. Okay, well, thank you for sharing that with me.
There are places you can go to get legitimate music.
Right.
There are places that you can, if they've got iPods, they can get them from iTunes for a buck a track.
Well,
places,
you don't actually need an iPod. You can play them just fine in your computer in iTunes.
Right.
But you can't move them to another MP3 player.
Easily. There are ways, but yeah.
My kids know about this stuff, but thank you guys for enlightening me on that.
Do not let them download
LimeWire,
BearShare, Kazaa, any one of those. LimeWire, BearShare, Kazaa, they're all the same idea. They're all loaded with spyware. They're all full of junk. Do not get
them. They're illegal, technically, because they're going, like they say, peer-to-peer. Yeah.
See, the programs themselves aren't illegal. They get around it by saying, our program isn't illegal. What you do with it might be, but that's not our fault.
Right. The reality is, if I write a bunch of my own music, and put it in the public domain or make it GPL or whatever it is, and I say, anybody on LimeWire can download this for free, and it's perfectly legal, that's fine. That's perfectly legal. But that doesn't mean that everything that's up there is that way. In fact, the vast majority is not. I'd say 99.999%.
Gotcha. Okay, well, I'm going to keep that far away from my computer, then. Thanks, guys.
There you go.
You're welcome.
Good for you, Doug. That's the way to do it. Man, this is an interesting problem, isn't it?
Yeah, and we're going to find more and more of it with the holidays and the kids, you know, getting the iPods and MP3 players and everything else. Folks have to be leery of letting their kids get this stuff, you know, the LimeWire and the BearShare and the Kazaa and all that, because it is illegal. It's loaded with spyware. I mean, the tons of stuff that we clear off machines is unbelievable.
Right.
I mean, I had one machine last year. The folks had it just a week and a half, and I cleaned off over 2,000 pieces of spyware. Yep. That's just in a week and a half.
Yep.
That's actually kind of low for a week and a half.
What usually happens is that you download a bunch of music illegally, and it's all the, you know, whatever the most popular stuff is, and you go to play them, and one of them doesn't play. And you think, oh, I got a bad download. No, you didn't. You just got owned by somebody. You double-click on a file, you try to run it, and it turns out to be spyware. You think the music didn't run, but what really happened is you've now loaded spywares or Trojans or whatever on your machine. We're going to take a quick break. If you're on the line, stay on the line. If you're not on the line, why not? We have Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco at 40 minutes after the hour. You lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. The description, except for the blue leisure suit. I have never worn a blue leisure suit. Bright green, sure. Lemon yellow, absolutely. Blue, never. You're back. We're back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton. Name that movie.
And this is Soundbites.
Name that movie. That came from. Come on. You're the entertainment critic.
Yeah, I am. Thanks. I had Rumbles.
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Yeah, one of the many movies I've never seen.
Excellent.
I've never seen it.
Well, that's a classic. You gotta see that one.
Never. All right.
Sorry.
I'll get Netflix.
I'm with you.
I'll get it. All right, big deal. Look, before we get back to the phones.
Dan's going to bring it in for you tomorrow so you can watch it between now and Christmas.
That's perfect. Thanks. If you're a user of Yahoo's Instant Messenger, there's a bug in it, and Yahoo said late Friday that they fixed that bug. Here, this is fascinating to me. What happened was you downloaded a new version of Yahoo Instant Messenger. The first thing it did was change your mail preferences to go to Yahoo Mail. It made Yahoo Mail your homepage, changed your mail preferences so that Yahoo was your preferred mail system, and now they're calling that a bug. They're calling it a bug. It installed the mail icon in the system tray, changed your default settings to Yahoo Mail. Yahoo has alerted 73 million users worldwide to download the latest software version, which includes free or low-cost PC to PC calls among its chat features. The previous software contained a security flaw that could cause other applications like Internet Explorer to crash, there's a surprise, or prompt users to be involuntarily logged out. But this one did all this other stuff, and the Yahoo said their engineering team was not aware of the Yahoo Mail issue. The software that they created, they're now saying they're not aware of what exactly it did when you installed it. Nice. And finally, if you are indeed running Internet Explorer, Yahoo might crash the browser. So not the thing I would normally use, I suspect, to do any of this stuff. Our next caller is Jim on a cell phone. Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Happy holiday.
And the same to you.
My son, we have a computer. We got Windows XP. We use AOL. And he's constantly doing the chatting and the AIM and all that IMing. And
yeah.
What I wanted to try to do is try to put a limit to that as far as a time thing per day. Is there such a thing using Firefox or anything like that we could have put a limit in time?
Well, the easy thing to do is just put a password on it so you can, limit his use of the computer totally.
There's a Windows program called Time Manager that will let you set the time for internet chatting. So the timer counts down and it quits working. And
really?
It's $13.
And it's called what again?
Time Manager. We'll put a link on our site. Yeah, just do a Google search for AOL or AIM time limit.
Yeah, there's also a program called Kids Watch Time Control Standard that does much the same kind of thing. So
now, if I decided I wanted to put a timer as far as the whole computer and just put a password on there, right now he is the administrator. How do I change that?
Easy. You get in there, you change it, create an account for yourself as administrator, and you change him from administrator to limited use.
Right. What you do is this. When he's logged in, get on the machine, create a new user.
Okay.
Make that user an administrator. That's you. Set a password he won't guess. Like, it's not the dog's name or your favorite sports team or something like that.
Right.
Then... once you're sure
log
that
on
works,
as you.
Right? Log on as you. Now you're an administrator. Now set him to limited user.
Okay, I wasn't sure if you could have two administrators at the same time.
You can have 50 of them.
But the idea is
you only want one and you want it to be you. Make sure everybody else is either a limited user or blocked. For example, completely turn off the guest user.
Yep.
And then when he gets on, he can only do what you let him do.
Fantastic.
Now you can load a program like Kids Watch Time Control and tell it that's the number of hours a student can use the kid can use a computer. In addition, you can also set up with it. You used to be able to give me the user stuff under Control Panel.
Yep.
I haven't done this in
forever.
XP in forever. But under user, you used to be able to set. Now, give me a user. Double click on any.
Yeah,
user.
What times they're allowed right. to access.
See, they're
no,
using
he set, well, he set up as an administrator, so that'll never happen.
Yeah.
But you used to be able to set up the amount of time that somebody user. Could use the system. So you could say, you know, you can only use it between 5 and 7 p.m. or whatever you want that to be. We got to take another break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you at 49 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Call
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 54 minutes after the hour, you are listening to Soundbites. Our next caller is Jason on a cell phone. Welcome, Jason. What's your question?
Yeah, my question is that I have a window running XP, and I have a zone alarm on it.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time, it's fine. When I turn on the computer, I can get on the internet. I have a Roadrunner. But then if I leave the computer sitting for a while and I want to come back and get on the internet, and I can't get on the internet, but then I shut down Zone Alarm and I could get on the internet. Why is that so? Is that,
are you using any of Roadrunner's Easy Armor stuff?
No. I do not run any of those.
And do you have the internet firewall on Windows turned off?
No. But then the thing is,
well, you got to turn. You can't have two firewalls.
Or you have to program each firewall to allow that traffic through.
I turn off the zone alarm. I mean, I shut it down. Then I could get on the internet.
Right. You have accidentally told zone alarm to not let Internet Explorer get the internet.
Oh no, not Internet Explorer. I'm using Firefox.
Firefox. No,
well, then
thing,
go
yeah.
into the zone alarm and into programs and see how the controls are set for allowing internet access for Firefox.
But then the problem is when I first turn on the computer, I have no problem.
Oh, okay.
I can get on the internet, and it's just that if I let it sit for over an hour, 2 hours. Well, but then, not all the time, but sometimes I can't get on the internet.
Then what you want to do is go into your control panel under energy options and check to make sure that your hard drive in that is not spinning down.
Okay.
And the hibernation. Make sure all of that stuff is disabled. Windows does not do a good job of waking up from hibernation or spin downs or the energy saving modes.
But then the funny thing is that if I shut down zone alarm, then there's no problem. I could get
We got that. And what we're telling you is the reason that that has happened is simply because when you go into idle, it shuts down badly. So you need to make sure that it does not go into idle mode.
Kind of hangs up zone alarm because it doesn't know what to do right now. So that's why, exiting out. Just takes that program out, but it opens you up to being hacked into.
Right. What's really happening is not that Zone Alarm is quitting.
Right.
It's that it's opening up a thing that says, are you sure you want to allow this program to get to the internet? You can't see that window. It may be behind something.
Mm-hmm.
It may be off screen. And consequently, it's going to wait forever until you say yes or no. And because you can't see it, and the reason you can't see it is because you were in hibernation, you now have a problem. So that's the way that works.
Does Zone Alarm have the time lock control that some of the other firewalls do? After 30 minutes, lock out all activity?
I think that's in the Pro.
Yeah,
Pro version.
That might be Zone Alarm Pro, yeah.
Yep.
All right, our next caller is Gary from Lockport, New York. Welcome, Gary. What's your question?
Yes, good afternoon. I just want to end on an easy question here. Older e-machine with XP Home on it.
Yeah.
Obviously, the USB ports are a 1.
Yeah.
Can I just throw a card in there for a 2?
Yep.
Or?
Yes, you can.
$20, so, USB 2 card.
No problem with that?
No. It'll.
Well, hang on. What OS are you running?
XP, he said.
Okay, XP, yeah.
Yep. You just pop it in, and it'll find it and won't even need the drivers. Most likely.
Because XP likely has drivers.
Well, if you're with
in.
Most of the updates with XP, it already, you know, you've done the updates, Service Pack 2 and that, it's got the drivers built in there for the USB 2 that if you added USB 2, it'd know how to take advantage of it. So you should be all set.
There you go. Our next caller is
easy ones.
Like the easy ones. Our next caller is Ruth from Ontario, New York. Welcome, Ruth. What's your question?
On my user account, I have XP, Windows XP, and user accounts, I have 2 of them, my husband and I, and there's one for a guest that says account is off, but then there's one that says ASP.net, machine A, limited account, password protected. ASP.NET.
Yeah, something Microsoft installed. One of the updates was the .NET update from Microsoft. It creates this whole user for you to let Microsoft into your computer when you don't know it.
Yeah, and you can just delete that one.
Well, if you do, certain things will stop working.
For remote access.
Right, right, right. What you might do is turn it off and see what stops working. Depends on what you've got loaded onto your machine. Turn it off, see what stops working, and then make your decision as to whether or not you're going to keep it off or turn it back on again. We are done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, Dan Cole, who gave us an unviewable URL to go to. I'm Nick Francesco. We're done for another week, so we'll be sitting here for the next 3 hours sleeping off the rumbles before we actually go home. We'll be back next week. It will be Christmas Eve Eve, right? Next week. So we will be here. So
Christmas Eve Day.
Right, Christmas Eve. No, what?
The day of Christmas Eve.
Right, Christmas is Monday.
Right.
Right, so it's Christmas Eve Day. It's the day before Christmas, and all through the house, we were all stirring and using our mouths. So we'll be back next week on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.